G2, number 7A.
Nothing happens at all. Let's take another symbol and say our concept of life which we have is a concept of the flat blender. And suddenly something happens. Out of the blue, out of nothing, out of nowhere, out of nothing, something comes into existence. Out of nothing comes the One. It's an old statement of the mystics, an old statement even of Leibniz. Out of nothing comes the One, birth, and that birth gets bigger and bigger, that hole gets bigger and bigger, I have maturity, and it gets bigger and bigger, and I have something like death, and then something comes afterwards, which is still the same as before birth. And on that plane I experience, say, birth, maturity, decay, death, and then again there is everything okay. So on that I have beginning and end, I have birth and death, and I have the question here, what is birth? What is maturity? What is decay? What is death? What is after death? I have questions here which are wrong questions. Because they are wrong questions. Because the phenomena has been brought about not through the flat blender, but through the space blender. So I must ask the space blender what he has been doing. You see? So, can you see that if we stay on that low level of thinking in terms of birth and maturity and decay, and I then try to answer this question metaphysically, I can't answer it, because it's the wrong question. I can only answer it in rising above by transcending to a higher level, and there I see, first of all, I see if this space then is a higher sense of life, say spiritual life, life capitalized, then life capitalized is life capitalized, and is life capitalized, and is life capitalized, and is life capitalized, and is life capitalized. Then life demonstrates life, and that's all there is. So the whole question which the flat lender puts, I can say these are false questions, but I can state a proper proposition, namely this, of the higher dimension. Secondly, I can naturally go and have and see the interrelationship of the space blender and the flat blender, the interrelationship of the dimensions, and see how the higher phenomena work on how the higher dimension has its impact on the lower dimension, and then these phenomena are explainable. Can you see that this is as a symbol, not as Christian Science yet, showing the necessity of having in consciousness dimensions of soul and being aware of those dimensions? And that only by putting a problem into the proper dimensions, on the proper levels, that then they are answerable, that they find their right answer. Therefore we have seen, you see, that with structure already, that only when we go out from the whole, we can really ask the right question. If we don't go out from the highest dimensions, we cannot ask the right questions at all. And a wrong question, as I say, cannot be answered. So, this is what I wanted to explain as dimensionalism, as the scientists today see. And now we go and can see that the whole thing can be taken as a symbol for the levels of consciousness as we have it in science. Yes. We have seen that we go out from our categories which we had before, principally from the word, Christ, Christianity and science, as a first categorical, not dimension, as the first categories which we need, and then by intersecting it, see, with another category, with science, divine science, absolute Christian science and Christian science, we get cross sections, and here we get the levels, the dimensional thought. Actually, the question now would be, and the work one could do in a seminar would then be to see what do these dimensions mean. What is the tone? What is the tone of these dimensions? Therefore, we would have to find first the right concept of what is meant by the dimension of science itself, what is meant by divine science, what is meant by absolute Christian science and Christian science. In doing that, naturally, we would have to see how these terms which we find, or these values which express these levels or these dimensions, are interconnected with each other. That they are not just values which are given at random, but values which have a interconnection, which have a vertical similarity or uniformity. But as we have seen in those diagrams, that the phenomena changes as we translate them into other dimensions without being something else. That something is something, but at the same time, four things, at least. If you, or I could show it like this, that if this stick here would be those four dimensions, it is one stick, but I can put them together like this. It's still the stick. In other words, these four levels are not four, they are one, but they are, for the sake of analysis and understanding the signs of being, they are classified, but must have a common denominator running through it. And by doing that, really explain how the highest dimension of being is able to reach the lowest dimension of existence. I said existence down here, and not so much being, because it touches right down to the point where it comes to the flesh and translates matter back into spirit. For instance, see, we could see that really one of the main points of the highest dimension, see, would perhaps be just principle itself. But principle itself, it's the highest dimension, principle knowing itself. How does this very same thing appear when it is translated to a lower level, because we have to use some terms, actually it's not lower and higher, just as I showed you with the six, they are all one, but for the sake of making oneself understood, we just see here now it translates itself to this infinite principle as this infinite idea being one, for instance. So it is now not just principles per se which we are considering. On the level of science, we consider principle being conscious of itself as principle. See? Whereas on the level of divine science, you see that principle has an infinite idea, but that idea never leaving its principle, therefore being really one. When it comes to absolute Christian science, this changes takes on another form without being something else. It still remains principle itself, it still remains principle and idea being one, but here the dimension is that I want to see how the infinite principle per se is expressing itself specifically as ideas. And so I come to ideas, where the focal point is, you can see it, I made here an arrow, which means relationship for me. It is not unity, like in divine science, it's relationship, a relationship of principle to its specific idea, how principle can express itself always specifically as a specific idea of its whole principle. And so when I further translate that to a further lower dimension of Christian science, where Christian science is always that dimension, where I consider the impact of the positive on the negative, always, I see this is really the relationship of, say, ideas. Now this is for me versus illusions. Can you see? Now, in this way, that, say, this is one of the general categories of a vertical where we begin to realize, yes, in order to understand the whole of my existence, which is really taking in the whole of being principle by itself, and but must also, it's not only taking in the principle by itself, but it must also deal with it and explain from within that infinite principle all what there is to be true and untrue about ideas and illusions. I can see that within that one flow, so to say, as I take this and just put them into one another, that this infinite principle per se is really that which deals right down with illusion. So I have principle leading to oneness, to idea, really ideas, idea to ideas, ideas to ideas versus illusion. So that principle itself really is dealing with illusion. You see, it's just a slow motion presentation of how the divine principle, which knows only itself, which factually only knows itself, but is still actually dealing with its counterfeit in every space and shape and form. In this way, we can take all sorts of things and see, say, the interconnection. There is the infinite one. When it is translated, it becomes oneness. When it is further translated, it becomes unity. And when it's further translated, it makes one. So it's no use discussing and arguing with each other. What is right? If I talk about science or metaphysics, about being with mysticism and so on, mystics, is there only the one that's the one that holds that finished? The other one says, no, there is a big universe of oneness where everything is turned into one. The other one says, no, every little detail is one with its principle, is united with its principle. The other one says, no, you have to make yourself one with the one. Well, which is true. They are all true. They are all true. The one phenomena, or the one thing, appears as four things, so to say, on this level. Without excluding each other, without being something else, it keeps its identity completely. Well, these things are quite interesting. For instance, on this level, you have the law of causality. Can you see it? Causality. The moment you go higher, you have the law of spontaneity. You go higher, you have, for instance, the law of ever-presence. And I don't know, I think if you go higher up, you just have law. I'm not quite sure about the last one, but about the other one. See, well, causality is only possible on the level of Christian Science, in the causality in the old terminology. The moment we have absolute Christian Science, we have the law of spontaneity. Well, which is true? Do we deal with spontaneity or do we deal with causality? The textbook is full of showing causality. The textbook is full of showing the spontaneity of the revelation and so on. Well, is there spontaneity? When you are on the level of divine science where everything is one, you can't have spontaneity. Because you can't have the spontaneity. There is already everything present. And you have a sense of the law of ever present. And I think finally you just say, there is law. And so, in many ways, you see, we have to, we could take from the textbook, from what we know about our categories of the four levels, we can see how these various important points in the science of being have different aspects the moment I consider them from the levels. They do not contradict themselves, though they are different phenomena. They are all one, but the moment we see them as dimensional thinking, naturally they show a different phenomena. And in this way one can always, it helps enormously, you see, if you reason according to the law of causality in a certain situation, it helps you to see, well, this is only one dimension. Let's look at the same thing from the law of spontaneity. Let's look at the same thing from the law of ever-present. Or from just from the point of view of law, fullness of law. And you say lawlessness, lawness, just being law, being law. Well, these are things, naturally, which I don't want to explain very much further here, but which give us an insight of what, in a seminar work, we could do. Now here, you see, I have put in a third dimension. The first dimension was the black one, please. The second was, the categories. The second was the blue one, the dimension. And in this skeleton, I have put in here the red ones, the synonymous term. I have, somebody said it is the stuffing. You put into the skeleton the stuffing, the meat to the skeleton. And bone has come bone to bone, you can put in the meat. And naturally, what we then have to see, is with these synonymous terms, that these synonymous terms, they look so different. They look as different phenomena, just on that picture we had with the cylinder. Here it's just life, and then suddenly it takes on another form as life, truth and love, and suddenly it takes on another form as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love, and so in the other. See, now I've tried to give those examples of those cylinders and so on to explain that the moment one translates a higher dimension to a lower dimension, that the phenomena changes without that it loses its own identity. That they are the same, but the accentuation becomes different. So that life in divine science becomes life, truth and love, in absolute Christian science, and that it becomes in Christian science, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. This is not the purpose of my talk now, see, to explain this. I only want to show the methodology of it, but it shows another thing, that afterwards, see, we have to see, really, the law of interrelationship which exists between these levels. That, because there are not four levels like this, but because they are one, we must somehow be aware of the laws existing there, making the relationship, the interrelationships between these levels. And it is interesting, it's quite good to see it right here again and to repeat it, to see that actually we must see all those levels in one view. The moment we take out, and this will be, could be another big question for a seminar, it usually has taken us a whole day, to reason out what would be missing if one would only take one level and leave out the other levels. Say, if one would only take the level of science without divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science, to see, would this be complete? Would this be right? Would this be really science? Actually, without the lower level, this wouldn't be science, this would be fatalism. Here in science we say, well, all that there is going on is principle going on and on and on. That's science, the level of science. But if I leave it at that, then I have just fatalism, which fatalism says, yes, all that there is going on is gone. You can't stop it and you can't do anything about it. So, this dimensional thinking must see that it could have a great danger within themselves if they are not seen as constantly interconnected. If I take, for instance, only divine science and have no absolute Christian science and no Christian science, then I would be just a mystic. That's mysticism, and when one reads mystical books, they all talk in the tone which we have here. And yet we can't say, because they say the same thing like Meister Eckhart. I could quote a lot of sentences from Meister Eckhart which are practically the same as the textbook says, and yet he's a mystic, because he doesn't say anything about these levels here. And therefore he is just saying something about this level, but this taken alone is no more science. No more level. It's reductionalism. I come back to that term, reductionalism versus dimensionalism. Reductionalism? No, not reductionalism. Reductionism. Reductionism. Yeah. That's the new book on that symposium. If I only take one level, like the mystic, this is reductionism. It's a very high level, and people come along and say, oh, I have found something which says much nicer things than the old textbook, something which is far higher than the textbook, and give us those wonderful statements of the mystics. Wonderful statements of the mystics. But because it is only this level, it is not science, it's reductionism. It's not dimensionalism. But if we take only absolute Christian science, as many people do, and leave out Christian science, then naturally we only have what we call absolutism. Just absolutism. Making the absolute as the only, it's again a reductionism, and just saying only the absolute exists. No matter what's going on, the world can go to hell, that doesn't matter as long as there is the absolute state. There is no savior in it. But if I only take Christian science level and leave out all the others, then again I have not science. Then again I have reductionism and not dimensionalism. And all what I have is a pragmatism. Yes. Pragmatism, you see, I have pragmatism, I have pedantry, I have narrowness, where I just say, all I'm concerned is how I get along with the opposite of mind, spirit, and soul, how I get along with mortal mind and with matter and sense, testimony and the body, and that is all I'm interested in. It's narrow, it's pragmatic, and that it has no higher aim in it, it has no higher view in it, it does not demonstrate anything higher, but just something very narrow. Yes, so you can see we could, in a seminar, really think through what it means that if one only takes one level and leaves out the other, or if one takes two levels like this and leaves out the other, or three levels and leaves out the rest, or coming down, if we only have this one and not these, if we ever only go this and not further down, and so on. What does it mean? What does it imply? Until one just feels that everything, all those four are necessary, are interrelated to each other, and just are this. That is one of the first points one could investigate. Yes, let me take the next, please, Manfred. You see, I said then we would have to investigate the vertical, relationship, the vertical laws. I call them the laws of interdependence, the vertical laws of interdependence, how each level is, through laws, connected with the other level. For instance, here I have shown how the platform of Christian Science shows us those 32 points in the whole, and this is one of the most simple presentations. You know how the platform is divided up in 8 sections of the word, 8 sections of the Christ, Christianity and Science, and then each one of those 8 in 2s of word, 2 of Christ, 2 of Christianity, 2 of Science. And so the question, why 2 in each square? And the 2s are that they show the connection between Christian Science, this is in yellow, and absolute Christian Science. So there, again, already she has tried to show that you shouldn't just take one level like Christian Science, but always go right higher, a step higher, and so she always added to each one, one that is on a higher level. If we go further in this, next one, please. I think you must look on the chart. You must go back to number... Sorry. It was my mistake. I come back to the class. Voilà. That's what we had this morning when we are considering the Christ matrix, as I felt it was exemplified by the prophets, and where we came as far as to see that there is a matrix of Word, Christ, Christianity and Science, with Word, Christ, Christianity and Science, a complete matrix, dominated by the Christ aspect, so that each of the 16 must have the Christ aspect in it. And now, you see, this, you can ask now, well, why should there be the Word, Christ, Christianity and Science this way and this way? Why aren't these terms the same as here? They refer to the Word and here to the Word. They are different. Why are they different? They are different because these terms belong to another dimension, to another level than these terms. They have another dimension. The next one, yeah. So, what I felt was that on the top she gave Word, Christ, Christianity and Science from the point of view of absolute Christian Science. And on the side, that's why I put Word not in the same letters, in smaller letters, on the level of Christian Science. Can you see how, therefore, we get a sense of a wonderful dimensional structure. Structure within dimensions, where we see not just the interrelationship of word with the word, as here Hosea as a cross section or a kind of intersection of word as word. But it is at the same time an intersection of the word of absolute Christian science with the word in Christian science. And it therefore gives two dimensions combined into one. It gives the dimension, the level of absolute Christian science, and all these have the sense of absolute Christian science, and all these have the tone of Christian science. Does that make sense? You can see the same thing with Christianity.